The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
Fill her up.
You're listening to the Gas Digital Network.
We need to roll back the state. We spy on all of our own citizens.
Our prisons are flooded with nonviolent drug offenders.
If you want to know who America's next enemy is, look at who we're funding right now.
Every single one of these problems are a result of government being way too big.
You're listening to Part of the Problem on the Gas Digital Network. Here's your host, Dave Smith.
What's up? What's up, everybody? Welcome to a brand new episode of Part of the Problem. It's me, the libertarian Tupac, Dave Smith. It's he, the king of the caucus, Robbie the Fire Bernstein. How are you, sir?
Dude, I'm fucking pumped for St. Louis. Went into the city last night, did some comedy, feeling good, excited to do a whole weekend. It's going to be fun.
Hell yes. We will be in St. Louis in just a matter of hours. I was just looking at it, and I booked all the flights for this trip, and I'm just looking at it tomorrow, and I have a 6 a.m. flight, and you have a noon flight. You and I'm like, why on earth would I have done that? I guess it was, we're leaving from different airports, so it might just have been like there weren't like good flights, but I'm like, this is ridiculous. I made this decision. What?
6 a.m. sucks.
Oh, yeah. It's brutal. But I'll tell you, I fly on a lot of 6 a.m. flights, and they do not get canceled or delayed nearly as often as the other ones do. So there's that.
I have a problem that, like, when I want to leave, I have to actually clean up the apartment, because I feel like if I'm here, like, I can observe the mess, so, like, it's okay. But if I'm leaving, it has to actually be clean.
Yes.
And then I end up, like, the problem with those early morning flights is I always think I have everything under control, and then I don't go to sleep till 4 a.m. So if it's like a 6 a.m. flight, you get like an hour's sleep. It sucks.
Yeah. I think if you don't go to sleep till 4 a.m. and get an hour of sleep, I think you're missing the 6 a.m. flight. But
yeah, that's whatever. Well, depends on where you're flying from.
There's nothing. I mean, I haven't had this happen in a long time because, you know, I got a wife now.
Right.
But the coming back to a messy home after a trip is one of the worst feelings. It's just like you're tired and you just come from the airport and you open the door to your apartment and you're like, God damn. I remember those days. Ah, those good old days. Anyway, so yeah, come see us in St. Louis. Might be a little bit too late by the time this comes out, but if not, then come see us next week in Maryland, Perryville, Maryland. Still a few tickets remaining for that one, although it is selling fast. So come join us out there. I think Tim Pool and the boys are going to come hang for that show. I think they said they want to come out to it. So that should be fun. And then we'll be in Dallas-Fort Worth area. Bunch of more stuff coming up in the next few months. ComicDaveSmith.com. Go up there. We got all the ticket links up. All right. Let's jump into things. So the other day, actually, first, our lovely producer, Brian, sent me this video, and that's how I first saw it. And it's really blown up and taken the whole kind of, I don't know, what do you call this world? This internet news kind of world by storm. Was this video that Steven Crowder made. He was very, very emotional in the video, very upset. And I believe he kept calling it the big con. And he was talking about the contracts that some of these conservative platforms, conservative companies in this space of like internet podcasts, shows, whatever. I don't even know. It's funny because we still call this show a podcast, and the term podcast just took off, but it really doesn't make any sense at all anymore. Like, I think the term came from the iPod.
Right.
It was then it was like a podcast, or but they're just shows. We're shows that are online, internet shows. But anyway, this whole in this space here, it's really kind of taken off. I think it was something that a lot of people were kind of unaware of, this end of things. And Stephen Crowder made a whole video about it, and he was very upset and complaining about these contracts. And he omitted a few pretty key details from his long video. Like, he did not say who the company was, and he also did not say how much the offer was. He was reading through this contract, and it kept referring to the fee, but he never told you what the fee was. He never told you who the company offering the money was. And then the Daily Wire just did like a response video to it, basically saying, hey, that was us. We offered him this contract. It wasn't even a contract. It was a non-binding, like, preliminary agreement. So it was kind of like the starting point for negotiations. And they let you know what the fee was, which was $50 million. And anyway, I thought there was like a key detail about this. Did you watch any of this stuff, Rob, or are you somewhat familiar with the situation?
No, but anytime I hear any of this, I think I don't make myself enough money. I'm like, yeah. I'm in this space too. None of these people are that much better than me at this.
Yeah, me too. So I know, I get that feeling completely. Look, this is the way business works. It's about how much money you bring in. And this is the way business works, that people are going to pay you based on what they think they can profit on. And I think there was a bit of a knee-jerk reaction from people to support Stephen Crowder on this. And I want to say, and I hope, hear me out on this, because I think there's something that it's almost like people's instinct is to go, yeah, screw that. I'm siding with the guy, the content creator who I like, and these contracts are unfair and stuff like that. And I'm not incentivized in some ways to say this because I'm not the biggest fan of the Daily Wire. But I think this is all stupid and they're completely right.
I don't understand complaining about a contract off. Like, I understand if you're complaining because you feel like you're stuck in a bad contract because you're stuck, or you somehow got suckered, you didn't have a good lawyer, there was some fine print, you didn't realize the fine print, and you're turning around and realizing I'm not making nearly my value. I understand complaining in those situations.
It seems that his complaint was that the media in his mind, who is opposing the progressive regime, should all be in this together, and that they were actually kind of almost on the side of the tech regime, and that they are, that his complaint seemed to be that for the younger guys coming up, they're going to offer them contracts like this that are going to put them in a box and not let them be true.
Was there a censorship clause within
Yes, this was one of the things that he was very upset about. So there was basically, well, what was in the contract, it was that, you know what, let me get into this in a second, but I just want to preface by saying, when I say I'm on the Daily Wire's side, I don't mean that Stephen Crowder should have signed this contract or that it was necessarily a good deal for him. I just mean that there's a lot of these people who are supposedly, you know, the conservatives or whatever, they're acting like a bunch of leftists when they talk about this stuff. And they're not thinking through how business actually works, how these deals are actually done, and why it makes sense that they would have these clauses in the contract. So basically what was in the contract was a bunch of things, and this seemed to be what he was outraged about, was there was a bunch of areas where you could be penalized. One of them was if you were missing shows.
Yeah.
He was required to put out like 190 shows or something like that, which is like a reasonable amount for a year. Like, he was required to put out something like that. They were like, you'll be penalized like $100,000 for a show you miss or something like that, which sounds like a crazy amount until you realize that the contract was for $50 million. And then it's like, oh, okay, I don't know. Yeah, that doesn't seem
also,
that crazy.
They're forecasting the amount of advertisers that they could sell. So there's a cap on how many advertisement placements you can do in an episode. So in order for them to recoup the investment, they have to know that you're doing a certain amount of shows.
Yeah.
And if you're going to miss the episodes, then they can't pay you on labor you didn't do.
Right.
So that one's not a problem.
So the one that he seemed to be really pissed off about was that they also had a clause in this contract. Again, it wasn't even a contract. It was like a non-binding preliminary, you know, like offer. But the thing that he was very upset about was that there was also a clause in there that said, basically, if you have a huge advertising strike against you, 50% or more, I think they said, of your advertisers, and we can't replace those advertisers. There was also a penalty for that. And there was also a penalty for getting demonetized on social media. And what he was saying was, this is you essentially taking the side of social media and handcuffing conservative voices away from saying what they want to be able to say. But in reality, it's just, no, that just means there's less money coming in, and they're not sure they can, that you could be, would be worth $50 million if you're not bringing this money in. So in other words, it's not them siding with YouTube, if that's the company who's doing it. It's them. It's like, yeah, YouTube is screwing you over. We all think that's wrong. But YouTube would also be screwing them own over if they had now bought this product. This is just simple, like, kind of economics. It's like, there's less money there now.
It's the wrong way to do that deal. I actually agree with Crowder. Then they should be giving him back end points where he's getting a percentage of profits, so that if there's censorship, he's not getting paid because there's censorship. And then he can make his own decision about the style of show content that he wants
well,
to do.
That might be the case, but I still,
no, because then you're beholden, the way that this is structured, you'd be beholden to specific advertisers, where the Daily Wire could say, our ad team has already specifically sold to these companies, and these are the requirements of these companies.
Listen,
that's a different proposition. And then basically telling you, hey, if these people walk, our ad team's not selling new advertisers for you. You've lost this salary.
Well, they say if they're unable to sell new advertisers, I think clearly they'd be incentivized to want to sell advertisers. They wouldn't be doing this deal if they didn't think they could make money off of it. But I'll say that, look, that might be a strong argument for why you shouldn't sign this deal. But if they're giving you a lump sum of $50 million, I think it's completely reasonable that they would go, and we need some protections on our end, that you're not going to not be bringing in money anymore, and we just still owe you $50 million.
It's a weaselly way to make an investment, because that would be like, hey, listen, I'm going to buy this building from you at this price, but if I can't rent out the units, I'm clawing back this amount of money. It's like, it's up to them to forecast and make the investment, to say, I will make the investment, but if the following changes in the market based off of the show materials that you want to do, it is a way of controlling the show materials. The fairer way to structure it is just to be giving, hey, here's the upfront flat rate, and you'll get this percentage on ad dollars.
Okay, but if that's the case, then the upfront flat rate is going to be much lower, probably.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
one way or the other, it's kind of boiling down to a similar thing. All right, guys, let's take a quick second and thank our sponsor for today's show, which is Stamps.com. For more than 20 years, Stamps.com has been indispensable to over 1 million businesses. Get access to the USPS and UPS services you need to run your business right from your computer. With inflation on the rise, every dollar counts. Protect your margins with major discounts from USPS and UPS rates, up to 86% off. Use Stamps.com to print postage wherever you do business. All you need is a computer and a printer. And if you need a package picked up, you can easily schedule that through Stamps.com's dashboard. Rates are constantly changing, but with Stamps.com's switch and save feature, you can easily compare carriers and rates so you know you're getting the best deal every time. And if you're running an online store, Stamps.com works seamlessly with all major shipping carts and marketplaces. Sign up today with my promo code PROBLEM, and you get a special offer that includes a 4-week trial, plus free postage and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. Just go to stamps.com, click on the microphone at the top of the page, and enter the promo code PROBLEM. All right, let's get back into the show. Look, Steven Crowder is huge. He might be the biggest thing in this space. Like, he is one of the biggest, like, whatever you call it. He's a comedian, pundit type guy. He might be one of the biggest, like, guys in America. He's got millions of subscribers. He's got a huge, huge show. And so it's completely reasonable for him to be like, I just want to go independent. I want to own all my shit. I don't want anybody else to own it. So I get that. But this is the way business works. And I think that obviously there are examples in business where government gets involved and rules are written to favor big business and the system's kind of rigged in their favor. And that's all messed up. But stuff like this, I think it's kind of like it kind of goes back to like even some of the stuff Kanye West was saying that I thought that was just really ignorant and kind of like stupid. It's like, yeah, go in with your eyes open. But if someone offers you a deal, know that they're trying to profit off it too. Now, I know that sometimes people offer deals that are unfair, and then it's on you to not take that deal. You're not a victim because someone offered you a deal, especially a multi-million dollar deal like this. And the truth is that you can choose what route you want to go down. You can choose whether you want to go down the road that's like, I'll run everything myself. It's a lot more work, but you have a lot more control. Or you can say, I will take a check for $50 million. And then, oh, maybe the check may only be worth $40 million if something else happens or whatever. But that's on you. And I think that a lot of, particularly for like content creators and people in this space, that's something you got to think about. It's like you want to make yourself valuable. And then if that's the case, there might be a company that thinks, oh, there's value here. And the reason you would take the deal is because you think they can bring more value to you than you already have. And if you don't feel that way, or you don't feel like they're paying you a fair enough rate for that, then don't take the deal. But I don't see any of this as some scandal. I think it's kind of like, I don't know, they wanted to make him an offer. I'm glad he didn't take it, by the way. I wish Jordan Peterson hadn't taken the deal with the Daily Wire. I don't like his stuff since he's been there, at least from what I've seen. So I
agree. I think it's lame in an early round of negotiation to be going to the press and saying, hey, this is unfair. I even had a personal experience with Black Captain. I nearly found a podcast home for it. The company sent me a contract that was that gave them full ownership. And I flagged it right away. I was like, why would I give you full ownership of this thing? And they're like, that's not in the contract. I go, sure, no problem. Let me read you this paragraph and you explain it to me. And they go, oh, that wasn't supposed to be. And then they knew it was there. They gave me a fucking bullshit old record deal contract, and they didn't realize that I wasn't just an artist and I actually know how to read these things.
Yeah. Like, yeah.
They were not prepared to deal with me, but it's lame to get on a, like to go, hey, early rounds of negotiations. Look, these guys are trying to fuck me. It's like, that's kind of the way it works. Now, in terms of like network deals, I mean, I happen to be on both sides of this. I place podcast ads and I'm also a podcast person. And then I also produce gigs and I work on gigs as a person that doesn't like to work. Like, you're an artist, you want to just be able to show up and do this thing, or you want to be able to just show up and do the gigs. I would gladly give up higher percentages on a lot of stuff to not have to do. I don't like putting together my own gigs. It sucks. I've been dealing with spreadsheets the last 3 days. I got to track down people for 1099. I don't want to do that shit. I would gladly give up percentages to have someone put together all my gigs and not have. And then also, you got to learn how to do the marketing and advertising. If you join a network that's actually better at that stuff, you might end up with more money. Or if you got a person that's got an ad, like better with the ad department, you're making more money. So for like Crowder to have to manage all that shit on his own, you're now not just doing your show. You're also your own boss, where either you've got a friend who's a business partner who can handle that, or now all of a sudden you're the HR department. There's a lot of bullshit that you have to do. And there's a lot of advantages to being able to partner with people who can handle that so that you can just go out there and do your show.
Yeah.
With all that being said, part of the negotiation here is if you are going to a network, the game that you're playing is you want to have built-in penalties, essentially, that if they're going to censor you or not fully back the show, they're going to have to pay you out the ass. Kind of like what happened with Megyn Kelly with Fox News, right? Where like she got that you want to be in a contract with the network.
I believe that was her with NBC.
With NBC.
After she left Fox. Yeah.
If you're a person who's concerned about censorship, you want to be in a contract where the network is pot committed that they're not allowed to, and that they'd be forced to drop you and pay you out the ass. I don't know what Rogan's deal is, but if I was Rogan going to Spotify, I'd be like, yeah, I'm making a killing, so you guys are going to have to be pot committed to that number so they know that you're not censoring me. Yeah. So what I'm saying is, if you're in the alternative media landscape, you want to make sure that you've got a contract where they cannot censor you and that they're financially incentivized to leave you the fuck alone. So the way that this was written as is, it's lame of him to go to like the press and be like, hey, look at this fucking thing. And I understand them being like, we'll back you at this price tag, but it's only on this forecast of us being able to do YouTube ads. But then it's like, well, then give me the other offer. I don't, I don't want to be in a situation where
just
telling me up front, but yeah, but that's the conversation to be had is, hey, I'll take a lesser offer with the back end points. I don't want to be told that, X advertiser told us we're not allowed to talk about this war or they're pulling their ad reads.
Yes. No, look, I agree with all of that. By the way, I will say that even the Daily Wire, I thought they handled it in a way that came out looking pretty good for them, is that their guy came out and just, because Steven Crowder didn't even out them.
Right.
He just said it's one of these big companies and people were speculating. And so he did a video and he was like, yeah, no, it was us. Here's the contract. I'm going to read the entire thing and explain what we were thinking. This is why we offered this. And I did, even though it really made him, let's just say he was really being one of us about it. You know, I go, yeah, look, I think this was an honorable way for them to handle it. Like, we're going to be, you know, we're just going to tell you what happened. I've had offers throughout the years that I just didn't think were right. Like, I thought I'd be too handcuffed in them and in positions where it would have advanced my position at the time. But I also felt like, I think I'm going to advance on my own and I'd rather just do that. The way I do business with everyone I'm in business with is first off, I have no contracts. I don't have any contracts. I don't have a contract signed with Gas Digital. I don't have a contract signed with you to do this show. I don't have anything. Like, but I like it that way, where it's just kind of like, okay, here's our deal. It's like a handshake deal. Now, part of this is also because I'm very good friends with everybody who I'm involved with. Like, I don't, you know what I mean? I'm good friends with Ralph and Lewis. I'm good friends with you. I'm not like concerned about things like that, but it's like, look, here's our deal. Here's what you'll get paid. And like for you, Rob, like, I mean, we used to joke about this all the time on the show, 10-day contracts or whatever the running bit was. But it's like, I just always feel like I would never want you to be like locked into doing this show. Like, if you wanted to leave, it'd be like, oh, well, then I don't know. I want you to be here because I've convinced you this is worthwhile and something you want to do and something that's fun and that's beneficial and all that. And it's the same with Gas Digital. I mean, I would never leave Gas Digital without giving them some notice, but I'm not like under requirement to. It's just, that's like, I would do a decent thing, but that's like, that's kind of how I like to have it. I own everything. I own my show. I own social media. Like, I own everything. And that's how I like to do business. I also understand that if someone was coming to me with a huge sum of money, there'd be some expectations on their part. And it's like, okay, well, now we want something. Like, obviously they have to expect to make more than the huge sum of money that they just gave me. And I just think that people need to be like savvy about this. I also think there's this tendency for people who are incredibly successful to always look back and feel like, well, I got ripped off in this deal. This is kind of the stuff we were talking about with Kanye West. I believe we brought up the example of Dave Chappelle, where he'll always talk about how Comedy Central ripped him off. And believe me when I say this, I'm a humongous fan of Dave Chappelle. I think he's one of those brilliant comedians who's ever lived. And I despise Comedy Central. I hate what they've become. And they never put me on anything. So I have, in no way am I like, do I have a dog in this fight to side with Comedy Central on this? And I'm sure there were some things that were like, look, I'm sure they took advantage of the fact that Dave Chappelle, when he came to them, had very little value. And Comedy Central was the comedy network at the time. This was the home of South Park and The Daily Show. And like, oh, this was the place to be if you were a comedian at the time. However, I'm just not a leftist. And I understand the way like voluntary agreements work. And this was like a fundamental Misesian insight that when people, if there's a lack of force and people voluntarily trade or make a deal, we can like kind of logically deduce that both parties believe they will be better off. And this is down to like the most simple level, where it's like, if you buy a hat for $10, what you're saying in that action, the message that is being conveyed through your action, is that you believe you will enjoy this hat more than the $10. And the guy selling you the hat is saying he believes he would enjoy the $10 more than the hat. And now I'm not saying it always works out that way, but you at least go into it with the understanding that, like, I think I'll be better off taking this than not taking this. And then you can argue all day long about whether Dave Chappelle should have been paid more money or less money. You know, with a lot of these things, it's somewhat arbitrary. What percentage of the money brought in should he keep? What shouldn't he keep? But the truth is that Dave Chappelle now makes like $20 million a comedy special, in large part because he was on Chappelle's Show. Like, that's really what launched him and made him a household name. So even if you say, oh, you don't think he got paid right for those years, it's like he made a huge thing for himself off of that. Now, for Steven Crowder worked at Fox News when he was very young. He worked at The Blaze for many years. He worked at the fact that he's humongous now is also in part for the fact that he had these big platforms behind him. And I just think that people tend to underestimate that and just side with the artist. And I'm saying this as the artist, you know what I mean? Like, I'm saying this as the guy who's on that side of it. But I can also recognize that it's like, well, even if it's not, you know, big companies like that, but it's like, yes, the fact that I've been on Fox News and been on Rogan and been on like a bunch of these other platforms, Tim Pool and like all these guys. Yeah, that's made me bigger. That's let me reach more people. And now they know who I am. There's a lot of times people look at this from through like a one-sided lens, which I do think is a very lefty way to look at things. Like, the boss should always be paying you more. Of course we should raise wages. We should always be get when really it's a dance. It's a negotiation. It's got to make sense for everyone.
And the part that people don't see is not every investment the network makes is going to be a win.
Yeah.
So if you're a network and you're launching podcasts, and maybe one out of every 10 is a success, and you put it together, you gave them the platform, you built the show, and then once they're a success, they just walk, you're losing money.
Yeah, and even someone as big as Steven Crowder, that requires a bigger investment. Like, other people, they wouldn't have to pay $50 million. For him, they do, in order to attract him. So there's still like risk on their side. The other thing is not just that there's risk on their side, but I think the point I was trying to get at is that there's real value added. And this is something, this is why left socialists get economics completely wrong, because they only see one side of it. They see that there's a factory and there's a bunch of people working. They're the ones producing the wealth, right? They're working. The owner is just owning the thing. He's not doing nothing. Why should he be getting paid more than the workers when all he's doing is sitting up there saying, I have a piece of paper that says I have the deed to this factory or whatever? But the truth is that what they're completely missing is that if it wasn't for the capital investment into like the labor saving devices into building this factory, then the workers' labor is worth nothing. You know, like they just walked in and showed up and said, I want a job. And he's like, okay, I got these machines here. You can go operate. That he had to invest all of his money into that factory to begin with. And why would he do that if there wasn't going to be a reward for it? So it's just like constantly seeing that, like, you know, and even you've said before, which I thought was a really fair example of yours, where you're like, this particular, this comedy club that we both used to work at a lot, that was really kind of taking advantage of you and really not paying you what you should have been paid and really giving you kind of shit spots and all this. But at the same time, you worked there for years. You kind of honed a lot of your material and a lot of your skills as a stand-up. And now you take that and make good money off that on the road and stuff. So it's like, you even recognize, even in situations like that, the reason why you kept doing that for a while till eventually you were like, yeah, I'm not doing this anymore. But the reason why you did that for a long time is because there was value there for you to take out of it. And so, you know what? Take that. All right, guys, let's take a moment and thank our sponsor for today's show, which is Rocket Money, formerly known as Truebill. This is an amazing product. I feel like it was created for me. Are you like me? Do you have subscriptions that you never use and you're just paying for them for no reason? If you're wasting money on subscriptions, like 80% of people who have subscriptions that they forgot about, maybe it's time for you to check out Rocket Money. Rocket Money cancels the unnecessary subscriptions that you're not using. The app shows you all of your subscriptions in one place and cancels what you don't want for you. Rocket Money can even find subscriptions you didn't know you were paying for. You may even find out you've been double charged for a subscription. To cancel any subscription, all you have to do is press cancel and Rocket Money takes care of the rest. Go to rocketmoney.com/POTP. This could save you hundreds per year. That's rocketmoney.com/POTP. Get rid of useless subscriptions. Put the money back in your pocket. rocketmoney.com/POTP. All right, let's get back into the show. This always stuck with me, but my good friend Nate Bargatze, who's one of the best comics in the country right now. And this was years ago. This must be, I don't know, 10 years ago, something like that. But I remember we used to work at Eastville Comedy Club. And at Eastville, they would pay comedians like under the... They would pay a bunch of comics like not full pay. Like they would be like, you're not like at the level to get full pay yet, so we're just going to pay you like some crummy pay. And I was at that level. That's what I was getting. And so it was Nate. But Nate had been doing comedy a bit longer than me and was like further along than me. And people were like, yo, that's insane that they're not paying Nate the full rate. Cause Nate's like fucking, you know, and he was already like just a great comic. But he didn't have like all the credits and stuff that he later got. This is like before he was on TV, I think. And I remember talking to Nate about it. And Nate goes, and I was like, yeah, dude, they're right. Like, this is insane that they're paying you such bullshit for this job. And Nate goes to me and he was like, Dave, I don't care. It's like, I don't care. I'm trying to be bigger than all of them. That's my goal. I'm trying to work this stuff out and get to the next level where I would never care if they had paid me the full rate or the half rate at this club. Like, it's, and he was right. And he got to that next level. And now he's crushing it. Now he could buy and sell that club 10 times over without even thinking about it, you know? And it's like, I think just people have to like, you got to like stop feeling like, oh, I'm being ripped off and I'm being taken advantage of. And just simply ask yourself, like, does this get me to where I want to be or not? And if you feel like it doesn't, then don't take that deal. And if it does, then take it and let all that other stuff go. Don't hang on to any of this like resentment about like, oh man, the boss is making this, but I'm only making this. Like what? What are you bringing to the table? Is this getting you to the place where you're bigger than that boss? That should be your attitude with these things.
Well, was there another censorship clause in there, or was that the only thing?
I believe that was it. It was like if an event happens where your revenue goes way down, then that's going to affect the total fee. You know, take it. I understand feeling like, hey, I don't want to take that. But here, the reality of the situation is this, right? If you say no to that deal and you just go at it yourself, and there's an event where your revenue goes way down, you're still going to feel it. Like one where there's no one here is playing magical tooth fairy where that isn't going to happen. Now that sucks. I really think it's wrong. And I wish we didn't live in that world, you know, but you have to find a way, the best way you can to protect yourself. I mean, look, this is part of the reason why I'm at Gas Digital, because I do feel like it's like, okay, well, here's a company that I know is, you know, that's not going to be an issue with them. If nothing else, you know, It's a weird world to navigate through, but I do think that I think that if that's the case, then you're going to be affected by it one way or the other, whether you took this deal or not.
It's interesting. I can see the variables. I think it's lame to come forward when you're first negotiating, and this is not that flagrant. But I understand where you're like, we're supposed to be the non-censorship people, and this is putting. This is a contract that might lead you to censor me. There's a little bit of a faith aspect here where the Daily Wire would be like, no, we have no interest in censoring you. We're just looking at the business model here, that there's a possibility for circumstances beyond us that advertisers pull based off the content. And so we need to be able to mitigate for some of that risk. It's interesting. Do you know do you know what the penalties were for if advertisers leave that can't be replaced?
It was something like, it was a percentage of the fee. I don't remember exactly what it was, but it was something like where it gets reduced, like right. Whatever the total number. So it's still going to be in the range of tens of millions of dollars he's getting paid. You know, it's just would be not as much.
Dave, you know what I'm taking from this? We got to go on strike.
Yeah, there you go.
I guess against you, me and you against you.
Yeah. I don't know who that's going to work. Who are we on strike against? Me? No, I'm going to put down this strike right now. I'm going to get scabs. I'm going to get all types of new first year libertarians coming in here, not knowing what they're talking about, working for nothing. yeah, look, man, I mean, there's like there's a lot of things in this game. I mean, me and you both, I think from being in comedy and in podcasting, me and you have both done a ton of free labor. You know what I mean? Like done shows for free and stuff like that. But I think it's kind of like, yeah, but my goal is to ultimately be able to like get myself to the next level. So it's not as if there's no, if I wouldn't be doing this unless I derived some value from it, whether that's, you know, like sometimes I'll do very small podcasts like that are just, I don't know. I just want to do it. And that's the value that I get out of it. Like, I just think this will be fun as I want, you know, whatever their audience is to hear me talk about this topic or something. And I've done very, very big podcasts for free, but that's because it's like, oh yeah, I get the audience. I get to pull a portion of them. Like it's worth it. So I just think like, you know, again, like I was saying with the example of Kanye, like he could talk about how like there were contracts that he was given that were unfair contracts. And that might be true. I don't like, it might've been like, yeah, that wasn't a good deal. They should have offered more, but it's also like, yeah, you've made yourself one of the biggest stars in the world. So it's not like you didn't benefit a lot out of it. And I just think that's, if people think they're ever going to get away from that just because it's not some big corporation, it's some other business. It's like, no, this is like the way businesses are going to work. And I don't think there's anything like wrong or evil about that. Businesses are trying to make money. They're not there to lose money. And in the same way that you're not there to lose money, you know, it's like your complaint is that you'll lose money if this happens. Like, okay, well, that's their concern also. I don't know. I think that's reasonable. So I got to say, kind of in some ways, I wanted to be on his side, but I'm not really. That's just not really how I'm feeling about it. All right, guys, let's take a quick second and thank our sponsor for today's show, which is YoKratom.com. YoKratom.com, home of the $60 kilo. If you are over the age of 21 and you're in the market for Kratom, or you know someone else who is, definitely go get it at YoKratom.com. Their stuff is lab tested. It's quality stuff. It delivers right to your door, and it's the best price you're going to find anywhere. $60 for a kilo. These guys support everything Gas Digital does, so please go support them. YoKratom.com. All right, let's get back into the show. All right. Let's switch gears a little bit. There is a real shift in tone in the corporate press when talking about Joe Biden. We discussed this a couple weeks ago on the show, that it does seem to me that this whole scandal where they've found all these classified documents on Joe Biden smells to me like he is being sabotaged from within the House. I think that there are a lot of powerful forces within the Democratic Party and the bigger, you know, deep state apparatus that are not so into the idea of Joe Biden being their guy anymore. I think this is for obvious reasons. Essentially, the role that politicians play is to be the kind of the face, the puppet, excuse me, to sell this whole mafia ring. And Joe Biden is not really that good at selling this thing. And so I think something's happening. Anyway, I want to just play just a little clip from CNN. This is how they're talking about Joe Biden all of the sudden now.
A CNN review of the laptop data, as well as other public material, shows that Joe Biden did interact with some of his son's associates while serving as vice president, though it's unclear exactly what was discussed. One example, the Republican cite, Miguel Alemán Magnani, a Mexican businessman and son of the former president who Hunter was trying to woo. In 2014, Alemán Magnani and his dad were photographed at the White House with then Vice President Biden. In a later email, Hunter Biden reminds Alemán Magnani of the favors he's done for him. We have been talking about business deals and partnerships for 7 years. I have brought every single person you have ever asked me to bring to the effing White House and the vice president's house and the inauguration. Hunter Biden bluntly acknowledged the power of the Biden name in a memoir, writing that the Ukrainian energy company Burisma, which put him on its board, considered my last name gold.
I don't think that there's a lot of things that would have happened in my life that if my last name wasn't Biden.
Yeah, So this is the way the president's being described now on CNN, who, of course, carried him through his entire presidential election campaign. You'll notice how with this whole story, there's nothing new. This is all the most recent thing there was in 2019. That, to me, really tells you something. There's just no reason why this should be being discussed now, and this should be a change in tone, except that the midterms are wrapped up, and now the next thing that we're looking at is what? The presidential reelection campaign. Joe, I'm going to tell you right now, I am predicting this. Joe Biden is not going to be the nominee for the Democrats. I think that once it gets to CNN, that means that the marching orders have really come down. He is going to, as I said before, I think preferably they're going to turn on him enough that there's enough pressure that he steps aside without completely ruining him. If necessary, I think they'll completely ruin him. They'd rather not do that because that hurts the Democrats no matter who it is. But this, what you're watching here is the machine turn on Joe Biden.
And it's interesting when the machine turns, if you remember in the Epstein story, that story existed forever. Who was it? MSNBC said that they weren't running it.
It was an ABC reporter.
They had the story, decided not to run it. But then once it comes out and they start running it, then they all, I'm even more upset about this than you are. That's always their play. The FBI shows up. Oh, we're going to get to the bottom of this thing. And you see with the corona now, I mean, we've just done three episodes in a row of people all of a sudden asking questions that were as relevant to the vaccine at the outset as they are now, but suddenly they're asking these questions. It does feel a little bit like this is level one of, hey, we're going to start covering this.
Yes, that's exactly what I'm saying. Yes, exactly. And I think that's exactly right.
We cover the next thing. We'll start covering the dementia. We'll start covering some of these contracts. We'll start digging into all of it. The only thing is, as we've seen with who's that guy down in Texas who keeps losing everything?
Well, by the way, Brian, see if you can find that video of the ABC reporter talking about how they killed the Jeffrey Epstein story. We'll play that in a second because it's worth writing. But you're talking about Beto O'Rourke.
Beto O'Rourke. Sometimes they test the market on storylines. Mm-hmm. So it could be with this one that they're not full. Like, I'm just saying your theory makes sense to me. That this is level one of they're going with like the very soft stories that they never even reported on. And this is not news now. And they're just the only reason that you would do it is to basically go, all right, we're going to start talking about this. But then there's also, I guess, a slight possibility that they're just kind of testing the storylines to see, I guess, kind of what sticks. The same way, like, they'll go nuts with Beto. Oh, this is the greatest thing ever. But then the market's just not into it.
Right, right. No, I know, Jimmy. And they go, oh, he's just got that it factor. Everyone loves this guy. And they're like, what's he polling at? 12%? Okay. No, he's nothing. But it's unbelievable. Like, you think about this, how quickly these things can change. We mentioned recently the example of Andrew Cuomo. And it's almost like, I know as time goes on, it seems like this distant memory, but he was the rock star of the Democratic Party, the rock star. The guy won an Emmy for his daily, you know, briefs on COVID, telling you what you were allowed to do that day and what you weren't allowed to do. And now if you just mention him, any Democratic establishment figure would be like, oh, that guy. It's just like that. He's done.
But that's not even the real storyline. The real storyline is we have a problem of lying women being able to unseat individuals from high profile jobs because case got dropped. So, yes, I mean, that's the real scandal is lying women.
Well, right. But, you know, Rob, like if you remember right when Tara Reid, I think, was the girl who came out and said that Joe Biden sexually assaulted her. There were a couple other women who came out and said Joe Biden did inappropriate things in 2020 and it got no traction. Because they weren't interested in bringing down Joe Biden when he was there to bring down Donald Trump. So those stories only get traction if it's useful to bring down the person who's being accused. And that's they decided they were bringing down Cuomo. That was that. It wasn't actually the lying women. I'm not trying to say lying women aren't a problem, Rob. I'm just saying there's something else at work here too. Here, let's play this clip just for anyone who doesn't remember. This was a hot mic moment. Or not a hot mic. I don't know what does hot mic actually mean, but this was her talking as she had a mic on her and someone got the audio of it.
I've had the story for 3 years. I've had this interview with Virginia Roberts. We would not put it on the air. First of all, I was told, who's Jeffrey Epstein? No one knows who that is. This is a stupid story. Then the palace found out that we had her whole allegations about Prince Andrew and threatened us a million different ways. We were so afraid we wouldn't be able to interview Kate and Will that we that also quashed the story. And then Alan Dershowitz was also implicated in because of the planes. She told me everything. She had pictures. She had everything. She was in hiding for 12 years. We convinced her to come out. We convinced her to talk to us. It was unbelievable what we had. Clinton, we had everything. I tried for 3 years to get it on, to no avail. And now it's all coming out. And it's like these new revelations that I freaking had all of it. I'm so pissed right now. Like every day I get more and more pissed because I'm just like, oh my God, what we had was unreal. Other women backing it up. Hey, yep. Brad Edwards, the attorney 3 years ago saying there will come a day where we will realize Jeffrey Epstein was the most prolific pedophile this country has ever known. I had it all 3 years ago.
You know what's kind of sick about this, though?
Yes.
It's just upset she didn't get the story.
Yes.
It's not really, like we brought them down or we changed the pedophile. She's like, this was career gold and you stole it from
That's exactly right. She's pissed off she didn't get the scoop. And she's getting emotional about that. Not emotional about him being the most prolific pedophile. She's getting emotional about the fact. She's not like, and thank God the story finally came out. You know what right. I mean? It's like, and now the story comes out. It's like, yeah. That's right. Oh, it's breaking. Is it breaking now? Yeah. No, it's not breaking. I was supposed to break it. Yeah, that's pretty sick. But obviously the really sick implication there is that, yeah, they had this and the network shut it down. So because they were concerned about getting access to the royal family or something. I mean, to have a story, I mean, that should have been, by the way, you know, this is why that little disgusting demon, Brian Stelter, does a media watchdog show. Like, imagine doing that and you'd be like, I don't know, just look at this one clip and then know you can never trust any of these people again. Like, were there mass firings at ABC? Did everyone who was a part of this get fired? Did they get down on their hands and knees and beg forgiveness?
They went on to produce the January 6th commissions.
Right. You know what I mean? It's like, so that's what you're dealing with here. That's what the level of this is, that they will shut down a story exposing a pedophile for it, in their words, for access or something like that to the royal family. Oh, we get to interview the prince. It's just like, I don't know, just unbelievable. But yeah, that's how, and then you also see that it's like, yes, and then when they decide to turn, they can turn, get ahead of it and be like, oh yeah, we're all outraged about the Jeffrey Epstein story.
I mean, pretty shocking to see CNN run that. I don't know how they don't have to excuse, I guess, being 3 years late on a news story.
Yeah. Well, they'll you know, they put it out like a CNN investigation reveals, you know,
right.
What all of us have been talking about forever. So, hey, look, we did an investigation and we got to just tell you what we found. And this is what we found. But it's like, come on. All this stuff was out there.
Live in the future. Celebrate being right. That's why you watch this show.
Yep. That's right. There you go. Okay, speaking of villains being brought down, we do have some good news. Not quite as good as we deserve, but I'll take it nonetheless. Some good news coming out of New Zealand. Let's roll the tape and enjoy every minute of this.
And so today I'm announcing that I will not be seeking re-election. And that my term as Prime Minister will conclude no later than the 7th of February.
Good.
Rough
good.
Years for Kelly Festuca.
If you get that reference, you get it. If you don't, you don't. But thank God that totalitarian giant-toothed freak is out of here. Truly one of the worst totalitarian rulers in the world. I don't know if people don't remember, but she was... With perhaps the exception of some in the CCP, she was about the worst dictator throughout the whole COVID insanity. Shut down the country over one case at one point, instituted lockdowns, insisted people not go outside, encouraged other citizens to report their fellow citizens for the crime of going outside. We've got there's too many videotapes to even pull it here. We have one one of her her greatest hits. Here, let's watch that.
So you basically see it. This is going to be like, well, it's almost like you probably don't see it like this. The two different classes of people, if you're vaccinated or if you're unvaccinated, you have all these rights. If you are vaccinated.
That is what it is. So, yep. Yep.
Can you describe as you were previously hoping not to be able to, not to have to do that, I guess, when we still looked like we could maintain elimination across the whole country? I guess that has now changed because.
I think it was less because necessarily of the elimination determining that, and more because we, of course, maintained, and actually we have managed very high vaccination rates generally without the use of certificates. But actually what it's become clear to me is that they're not just a tool to drive up vaccines. They're a tool for confidence. People who have been vaccinated will want to know that they're around other vaccinated people.
New Zealand has unveiled its plans for vaccine.
There we go. This was her asked point blank, are you creating two different categories of people with two different categories of rights? And she said, yes, that is what it is. Openly celebrating creating an apartheid system in her country. And then, of course, just falls back on, as we've always said, the absolute dumbest rationale in all of the COVID, you know, insanity. The dumbest one of all of them. Is vaccinated people want to know that they're around other vaccinated people, leading to the question, if the vaccines work, why would that matter? I thought you were protected.
I seem to also remember really harsh authoritarian comments in regards to free speech, and also maybe in regards to global warming, climate change. I do wonder, with her stepping down, I always get excited that there's going to be some bombshell news story, and there usually isn't. But if maybe she's getting ahead of the COVID story, taking a big enough turn that she knows that she can't last in her job.
Yeah, no, it's quite possible. They still do have some democratic process in New Zealand, and her party was really plummeting and doing very poorly. So that is, you know, thank God there's at least that. But it just. I don't really know what more to say. When you watch these videos, it's like you're truly looking at a totalitarian dictator who's talking about taking away every basic natural right from people for not getting a vaccine, which turns out was sold on lies and does not work at all the way they said it did. I know the video we had there has like the yellow stars floating in the background. I know people get like real offended by that, but I don't care. Don't be more, if you're more offended by that than this woman openly bragging about instituting an apartheid state, I don't know, get your priorities in order. And there should be like real deal, like Nuremberg style trials for these people. And it's like, so yeah, like I'm glad that she's not seeking re-election, but man, is that not nearly enough? Like, these people really should be put on trial for what they did. It's crimes against humanity. It's absolutely just inexcusable. Horrific, horrific people.
She already has to live out the rest of her life as a human corpse. So
that is true.
Just mustering up the energy to move those teeth around.
They'd be like, this Nuremberg trial has concluded and we sentence you to giant ears and teeth. Oh, well, you know what? Taken care of already. All right. There you go. All right. We're going to wrap up there. That's our episode for today. Next episode will be the live show from out in St. Louis. So looking forward to seeing a bunch of you guys out there. Looking forward to hanging with you for the weekend, Rob. And then the following weekend, of course, in Perryville, Maryland, we'll be doing a live podcast out there, too. So a lot more live podcasts coming for you guys in the near future. Should be a lot of fun. All right. Catch you later. Peace.